Well, welcome to the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM, the show where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. Nikki Seberini here, absolutely delighted to be with you. We have such a great show lined up for you today. You know, last month was the month of June. It was Cancer Survivors Month. And I think that is such an important topic to unpack, because so often we focus on early warning, detection, being healthy, diagnosis, different types of treatments. And it's almost as if the treatment comes to an end and then what? Because it doesn't stop there. So we really are delighted to once again have Nadia Boysen on the show, cancer survivor and an oncology counselor, to unpack this, because the journey continues. And the question is, what is the impact on a physical level, on emotional, psychological level, and how does one move forward and integrate back into a world that simply doesn't seem the same? Nadia, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Nikki. Thank you for having me.
We're going to start from your personal perspective first, because not only are you an oncology counselor, but you yourself have been on this journey. And so, Nadia, the question is, after the rigorous treatment, after everything that one has endured, the family, the ups, the downs, obviously all the side effects that come with the treatment, did you find it difficult to kind of move back into life? And was it as simple as that, or has life changed forever for you?
Life has definitely changed forever. I think, you know, besides the fact that your body changing and your outlook on life, you also change as a person, the way you see life, the way you interact with life and with people, and the way you just interact with yourself. You know, there's definitely changes in all facets of life. So it's much bigger than just the physical changes, you know, and it's almost impossible to prepare yourself for it.
You know, it's almost as if you have to, and I'm saying just from hearing what people have shared, it's almost as if you remove yourself. You have to remove yourself from normal everyday life. It's not to say that you're not living a normal everyday life, but you have to, because you have to focus on recovery, on getting through the treatment, and sometimes still working and still being a caregiver or, you know, a parent or a child or whatever it is. So it's balancing the two, removing yourself from the normality of it, yet still trying to live in normal everyday life. And so, Nadia, the question is, when one goes back to it, let's break it down in terms of physical changes that take place. So we know that things are not the same. What do you say to people who all of a sudden have tremendous fatigue? You know, it's very difficult to move through the world without that kind of energy. We look at pain that could be there, neuropathy, you know, hormonal changes. Mm. What do we have to say about that?
Yeah, you know, the big thing is, you know, you've had a life before cancer and it looked a certain way and you had capabilities within that body and that mind that you had prior to a cancer diagnosis. And then when you get to the other side, your body and your mind is extremely different. And, you know, you were able to maybe run 10 kilometers as an example. And all of a sudden you have neuropathy or you have the level of fatigue and you're just not able to do that anymore. And I think that's where the part comes in, where you truly have to reevaluate what your body is capable of doing then and just adjust to different routines, to different hobbies, to different exercise routines. You know, maybe now you can only walk or cycle or you need to start swimming. Because your feet just can't do the running anymore, you know. So it's a complete adjustment of your routine, of your exercises, of whatever you used to do, you know. You have to adapt to what your body's now capable of doing. You know, that's the basic practicality of how these things manifest is, you know, maybe you were able to do an 8 or 10 hour day and the fatigue is just too much, you know. So we'll recommend maybe see if you can do 2 4-hour shifts with a break in between, or maybe a 6 hour day and resume, you know, at night after a meal, or, you know, have an afternoon nap. So you have to practically kind of break things down and see how you can manage life, in a better way that suits your body and your mind, in the way that you're currently functioning. Yeah, that's basically what you do.
I mean, I'm hearing that, and that would take, you know, a person who's reconciled a lot, who is pretty open-minded, who can adjust to these kind of things. And I'm sure there are people who find that adjustment quite difficult, Nadia. You know, you used to run the 10 kilometers. You've recovered, you know, you've got through the treatment, and now you want to continue to run the 10 kilometers, but you have to make the adjustment. So a lot has to do with the mental adjustment. And perhaps you have some suggestions, Nadia. How does one come to terms with the fact that there are these adjustments, that life may not be the same? It's different. But it is there to be embraced. What do you say to patients who ask you these questions and are facing these real struggles?
I think in the beginning, you know, you have to be gentle with yourself. I think that's the basic premise to work from. You've just faced a life-threatening illness, which you've overcome, and you have a second chance at life, which, you know, you need to embrace. Everybody's not that fortunate. And if you have a chance, you know, I think you should truly do whatever you can to stay in a position of living a second life optimally, you know. And the adjustment is enormous and it looks different for every person. But often, and unfortunately, you know, there is a very high price to pay to stay alive in the world of oncology. And I think understanding that and making peace with that, you know, helps with the process. But it is almost like forgiveness. You know, it's not something you do once and it's over. It's something you need to do almost daily when you're faced with your limitations. But just appreciating the fact that you still have a body that can function and is not completely impaired. And with time, you grow, and with time, you heal as well. You know, so just purely because you can't do exactly what you could beforehand doesn't mean that you will never be able to get back that functioning. But the more gentle you are with yourself and the more your body can heal earlier, the better your outcome will be, as opposed to you overreaching and overburdening your body, you know, then I think you do much more harm initially. So trying out and doing the basic stuff, and then just adding on as you get stronger is a much better approach. But you know, we live in a society where self-care truly doesn't take priority, and is not always an optional thing, in terms of work and relationships and time. But if you have the opportunity, I always strongly advise people to truly appreciate the second chance at life.
Everything that you're saying makes perfect sense. And maybe we can break it down. So, I mean, what I'm hearing you say is that it's going to take time. You've been through a lot and you come out of it changed. And I suppose reframing is so important because, you know, you can say not the same, or you can say transformed. And there's so many positive aspects to being transformed, because you've said you're one of the lucky ones. You got through, you get to see life differently, you get to lean into relationships and appreciate relationships, and so you're saying be gentle and do it slowly, and have the appreciation. Would you, do you break it down for people? Do you say, because you've said, you know, forgiveness, it's not just a once off, it's something you should do all the time. Do you say to people, you know, like when you wake up in the morning, do X, do Y, or do you keep it a lot more informal? A lot, you know, some people like to be told, you know, do have the appreciation, maybe write a journal, express how you feel. How does it work with you and your clients?
So, you know, it's always easy to say to people, you know, you have to adapt and you have to look at new hobbies and, you know, you have to change things. And, you know, it's such a broad thing that I often find that, you know, with a first consult, a generalized conversation helps. But when people go home, they don't always know how to integrate that. So it
Exactly,
is
yeah.
much more effective to go and sit with them and say, you know, well, how does a day in your life look? You know, what do you do? What do you get up to? How many hours do you work? What type of activities are you involved in? And then literally break it down into manageable pieces and say, well, do you walk? You know, maybe you can look at these activities. Do you have access to a gym? You know, what does your work contract say? Do you have to do this? You know, who in your family prepares the food? Is there a possibility that maybe you can somebody else can do this? Can you have support from somebody to do this in your life? You know, so you actually have to go and sit and break it down piece by piece. Because I also think, you know, people are so traumatized during this period that to leave it up to them, they just don't always have the energy to invest in the daily planning. So, you know, they say to themselves, yes, I need to change, but if you don't break it down, they don't always think of the specific things, and then change just doesn't happen.
And you know, as you were talking, as you were explaining how a session would work with someone, it's almost like someone's just holding your hand because we're going to stress, you know, when you're going through the treatment, you've got this, if you're lucky enough to have this multidisciplinary team and everyone's holding your hand, and then it's over. And it really, for those people who are listening now, it really is something that you should consider continuing with counseling or some kind of therapy to navigate this next stage so that it doesn't seem overwhelming. So someone can sit with you, like Nadia just said, and break it down. I just, yeah, I think it's such an important part of the healing, right? You want to create this kind of safe environment. And speaking of that, Nadia, I think such an important thing is starting to feel safe again in the body and starting to drop into this body that, you know, maybe turned against you if that's how you saw it with this illness. This body that's been through so much pain, exhaustion, nausea, fear. And how does one then embody the body once again and feel, yeah, this is my body. I feel safe. What do you say to people who just have this huge dissociation?
I think that's probably one of the most difficult parts, you know, because you often do feel betrayed by your body, especially if you've had a very healthy lifestyle. And I think that's one of the biggest misperceptions out there, is that people who get cancer is not healthy. You know, they don't have a healthy lifestyle. And we do get people who's has lived a very, very healthy lifestyle. And I think for them, psychologically, it's just so much worse. And then again, you know, you get the chemo brain. So your mind also, you know, kind of betrays you when you need it most. Because if you don't have your body, you still have your mind. But with the chemotherapy, you also lose a lot of your cognitive abilities. And then you're kind of stuck, and it is a very unsafe space for you to function in. But again, you know, I think back to basics is just self-care and understanding what is causing these symptoms, and the understanding that it will take time to improve and to get the functioning back, you just need to slow down and be gentle with yourself, because the more pressure you put on yourself, the longer it will take, and especially cognitively, because the trauma impairs your functioning and the chemo impairs your functioning and the fatigue impairs your functioning. So it's not just a physical issue, it's very much a cognitive one as well. And that just amplifies, the feeling of not being safe. And I think that's where having good friends and families, play a much bigger part in your level of safe, feeling safe, and not being alone. That makes a huge difference. But within yourself, it's a journey and understanding why you are struggling and what is causing the struggle.
Just so important, so many important conversations. And also, I'd like to just return to something that you said a little bit earlier. You said everyone's journey is different and so unique. And there are some people who go through treatment and it's relatively easy that, the side effects aren't as bad. And there's some who go through and it's horrific. Their whole world is turned upside down. And some people kind of move on and they feel inspired to change their lives. And there are other people who don't feel inspired. And as you say, maybe they're not thinking as clearly emotionally. They feel disconnected from their body and from everyone else. And dealing with that, the
Is that
person who comes through and sees everyone who's, responded so well or got through it, and they don't feel like they have. They feel like they're still trying to catch up. Again, would you recommend, Nadia, that people should go for support, because each journey is so unique?
most definitely. I think, referring back to grief again, every journey, every person has some losses within a cancer journey, and it's traumatic for every person. But we deal with grief and losses at different stages, and maybe because some people aren't feeling the grief at the moment doesn't mean that they won't feel it later on. So I think that's where the problem comes in with people evaluating their situation with other people. They sit in waiting rooms and they look at people and they say, well, this one doesn't look that bad. And they're doing pretty well. But I've never met anybody that's okay with a cancer diagnosis, and I think that's where a conversation can never do any harm. And I would rather recommend that people do see somebody. And if they feel that it's not the right time, they're not struggling, then it's perfectly fine. But for the people who are struggling and aren't that self-aware, it's just a safer space to discuss and to understand and to find out how you truly feel about something, because often we don't realize until we're having a conversation, and then we also just have people who is very self-aware and who have extremely difficult times during treatment. And I think, for them, it's just so important to get help as soon as possible, because the trauma just becomes more complicated. And then at the end of the day, you kind of sit with a complicated grief. And because we know that the follow-ups, also causes some trauma and anxiety with the tests, you don't want to make it worse. So you rather want to debrief as soon as possible and deal with the post-trauma before it gets to a very complicated place and a lot of anxiety and fear. And also because we know that stress, is the biggest cause of relapse, you do want to help with skills and coping mechanisms to just lessen those chances of relapse.
Just listening to you, so many thoughts came into my mind. And the one that was that there shouldn't be a stigma. You're continuing and you're going for therapy or seeing a counselor. It should be an extension of the treatment. It should almost be like the treatment is not over. You need to go for counseling, because you mentioned the word a debrief. And we know that when people have traumatic experiences, they go for a debrief. It's so important. And that cancer journey can be tremendously traumatic. And perhaps everything needs to shift, and it almost doctors need to see it. And maybe they do as an extension of the treatment. It's not like the treatment's over, you're in remission, boom, that's it. No, it's part of the treatment. I think everything that you've said is so important. And I think it's really important for people who are listening to realize that, you know, there's not something wrong with them, that they don't feel great or feel like they want to integrate with the rest of the world. And that maybe they just need someone to hold their hand and help them along the way. So Nadia, thank you so much. I think really an important topic that we've unpacked today, when we were focusing last month on Cancer Survivors Month. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Appreciate your time. Nadia Boysen, cancer survivor and an oncology counselor, here on the DL Link Show on 101.9 High FM.